Chapter 38. The old gods weren't worshipped because the people of the seven satrapies were ignorant fools, Zaimon told Liv. They were walking together to the outskirts of Garriston, heading through the Hag's Gate to the plain between the Old Wall and Brightwater Wall, where most of the drafters were camped. The old gods were worshipped because they were real. Go on, Liv said, not doing a great job keeping her skepticism back. A brief look of fury shot across Zaimon's face, quickly smoothed away. He looked at her intensely. Who's the tutor here? Liv blushed. Her instant reaction had been an artifact of her old beliefs. She'd always heard that the old gods were figments of the primitive imaginations of the peoples who lived around the Cerulean Sea before Lucidonius came. But if the Chromeria lied about other things, then that could be a lie as well. She cleared her throat. I mean, go on. I think the peoples of the Seven Satrapies knew it, too. From nowhere, it seems, little statues of the gods have resurfaced, hidden in attics, in cellars, in secret family shrines in the woods. Keep your eyes open as you walk the camp, you'll see little signs. Soon there will be priesthoods re-established. Worship will become public. You look sceptical. I'm sorry, but the old gods, like Atarat and Anat and Dagnu? Again a flash of irritation, and Liv felt stupid. But he spoke with kindness. You know how you feel when you draft Superviolet? Of course. Alien, separated from emotion and, honestly, a little proud of how clearly I see things. That isn't you, Zaimon said. I'm not a terribly conceited person, I'll agree, Liv said. But you don't know me, so how would you know? I don't mean that isn't the real you. I mean that isn't you. Pardon? Those aren't your feelings. Those aren't your perceptions. Indeed, those aren't your abilities. Ferelax is invisible. He is behind many of man's greatest achievements, but he doesn't think much of most men. He is distant and disdainful, and he has chosen to share his powers with you. The idea seemed repugnant to Liv. There's an invisible man helping me draft? This is what the Colour Prince believes? My drafting's mine. Zaimon's voice was cold, affect flat. So you chose your colours. Superviolet, for an outsider, for the Tyrian girl who could never be part of the Chromeria, but who secretly despised the girls who would never let her join their petty circles. Yellow for a clear thinker who couldn't decide whether or not to engage with all she saw around her. Sounds very, what's the word? Serendipitous. You're talking like a tenpenny soothsayer. If I'd been a sub-red, you'd say, oh, sub-red, for the girl so furious at being made an outsider. Or blue. Oh, you envied the girls who did belong. Garbage. Liv folded her hands, took a breath, and squeezed her fingers against each other. I mean, your pardon, my lord, but I'm not convinced. I know the Chromeria taught lies, but that doesn't mean I'm going to accept the first counter-argument that comes along. Zaimon didn't seem to take it personally. You're cute when you're mad. And when you do that with your arms, it shows off your bosom nicely. Liv looked down and dropped her clenched hands like she'd been burned. Excuse me? She stopped walking and he stopped too, facing her. She almost slapped his silly face. That is the most inappropriate thing anyone has ever said to me, and I expect your apology right this instant. Inappropriate? Why? Who says? You're beautiful, I told you so. Who gets to decide that I can't tell you what I think? I'd tell you, but you're smart enough to already know. You've joined the free, Oliviana. We decide for ourselves, and there's power in that. The Chromeria wants you to be modest. Why? If Orholm existed, why would he care how tight your dress is or who comes to your bed? Should have bigger problems to tackle, you'd think, wouldn't you? Well, but Liv didn't have anything to follow that monosyllable. The Chromeria teaches you to hate the very things about yourself that make you strong. You're beautiful. Use that. Use it however you wish, don't you see? You choose. Now you could choose to become a prostitute. No, don't take offence, damn it, it's a hypothetical. You could do very well, no doubt, and it wouldn't be wrong because Orholm says it's wrong. It's not wrong at all. It's just stupid. It's a poor use of all your gifts, and it limits your other choices, at least until the world changes. So it's a bad choice, but not a wrong one. That's how we draft, too. Some people break the halo before they're ready, choosing to share their body permanently before they can survive the union with their minds intact. They use their choice in a way that takes away their choice, like choosing suicide. It's a stupid action, and it demeans them as moral agents. What we have here, the free, what we offer is a free-for-all. But it's not chaos. Free choices, freely made, but still with consequences. You choose to join the army. You have to obey orders until your time of service is ended. This is a harder world than what you left, Liv. Freedom is hard. If you don't want me to compliment you because someone told you that you shouldn't be proud of your beautiful curves, your full lips, your radiant skin, the graceful lines of your neck, your bright eyes, that's ridiculous. To hell with them. If you don't want to bed me because you don't like me, that's altogether different. He was terribly smart, wasn't he? And supremely willful. Powerful. She pushed down a sudden surge of admiration and a deepened, silly pleasure at his outrageous flattery. She'd never been called beautiful at the Cromeria. Tyrians couldn't be beautiful, couldn't be fashionable, not after the false prisms war. "You're used to getting your way, aren't you?" she asked. "Hazard of being handsome and brilliant," she sniffed. "So is getting punched in the nose." He raised his hands and stepped back. "I didn't say I was brave, too." He offered her his arm, and she took it, not able to stop a grin from sneaking through her defences.
Oh, just thought of something. Who was the Colour Prince before he got burned?
Coyos Whiteoak.
Why? Just curious.
Carys's brother? No secret. What you were is less important to us than what you are and what you will become. Now, you get to work on drafting. You have a lot to unlearn and more to learn.
I'm still not going to bed with you, she said.
We'll work on that, he said with a wink and a big grin. And with that, Liv's education began.